the Mess It Up podcast, where we take your mess and turn it into a message. And now, here's the Bowtie Guy.
Hey there, all you party people. It is the Mess It Up podcast. I am your host, the Bowtie Guy. It's Paul, right here, doing the thing that we do every Tuesday. Hopefully, you'll tell people about this show. Hopefully, you'll let people know that it's fun. I'm hoping it's fun and that you enjoy it and that maybe they'll get a little something out of it as well. So make sure you pass it along to all your friends and folks that you know. Maybe put it on your feeds on whatever social medias you might be out there on doing. Because we love to have new listeners on the show as much as possible, and you are our number one way of getting them there. Another great way of getting new people to find out about the show is to have you write a review and rate our show on your podcatcher that you're listening to. Just go click whatever buttons it happens to be, you know, to leave a review and a rating. That really does help a lot, so we appreciate those of you who do that. Quick note about financial support. If you want to support the show financially, text the word MUM to 760-WALLS-CA. That will help get us into the walls of the prisons in California and help Messed Up Ministries rebuild the walls of our building. And we really appreciate all of you who have been faithful givers over the years. You really do keep this show going. Couldn't do it as well without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Something that we like to do on the show is something called the Word of the Week. And our Word of the Week, it's really funny because it started off as the biker chick, when she started doing some classes, and she would just text me a word like, what is this word? And all these words in her classes were coming up, and they were just these big words. And I was talking to another guy who's doing some seminary classes, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, they use all these words that I don't know. And it just seems like there's a lot more simple words out there than what's going on. I said, hey, that's the exact reason for the Word of the Week. And here we are, 319 shows down the road from that very first show. And we have a Word of the Week. Our Word of the Week this week is serendipity. And if you are of my vintage, you know, children of the 70s, I was born in the 60s, but raised in the 70s, we had a show, Serendipity, on TV, and I didn't know what it meant back then, but it is having unexpected and fortunate discoveries, that it's like, you know, good luck or good fortune. I personally don't believe in luck. I believe that God has things out there, but I do believe that things happen to us and that they can be serendipitous without including luck in it, that God can give us things that happen for a good way and in a good way, I guess, for a good reason. So if you can use serendipity in your sentences, give yourself that 10 bonus points. Now, I realize some people might be taking the easy way out to try to collect bonus points. It has come to my attention. Some gamesmanship, perhaps. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're gaming the system on the Word of the Week, you get half points. You get 5 points. And what I mean by gaming the system is doing something like this, saying, hey, serendipity is the Word of the Week on the Mess It Up podcast. You're not really using it in the way that it, you know, is meant to be used. You're saying it like it's a noun out there somewhere. It's a thing. So if you're not using it in a sentence that expresses a knowledge or an understanding of the word, that's a half pointer. Although if you do say it's on the Mess It Up podcast, I'm going to give you the full points because you're advertising for the show. But I think you get the idea of the gist of where we're going on that. I'm not the bonus points police. So you give yourself the bonus points that you feel you deserve. You keep track of them your way. And I guess we'll come back together next week to see how you did with that. If you want to get a hold of the show, if you want to send in some words of the week, Nancy in Iowa sent us some words of the week, and that's great, but we're running out of words of the week again. I got one for next week's show, but that's it right now. You can send them into BowtieGuy@messituppodcast.com, or you can just send them right to my phone, which is sometimes an easier way to get a hold of me. Just send me a text or call me, and it's 760-608-1942. Would love to hear from you, and just really thank you for helping support the show in all those ways. I have a blast doing this, and it's super, super fun. And like I said, you know, we've been doing this now 6 years. We just had our sixth anniversary a couple weeks ago, and it's still rolling strong. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do to support us, the show, the ministry, all of that. Your prayers are coveted. We love you guys beyond measure. So what I want to do, I've got a topic here that I've been trying to get people to talk to me about for at least a year. And it just keeps on getting kicked down. I've got this spreadsheet on the computer, and it has, you know, my words of the week and the song of the week, and then it has the big idea for the show. And I just keep kicking it down the line because I can't get anyone to talk about it. And it's a spiritual spring, the idea of a spiritual spring. We're here in springtime. As you listen to this show, it's going to be the last day of April. And, you know, time does that thing that it does. One day after another, the next thing you know, it's a year gone by. But I'm looking at the desert as I was doing some driving. I've been doing a lot of driving over the last couple weeks. And I see all these plants that are coming up, these flowers, these, different bushes that are blooming and blossoming. The leaves have come out on the trees, and the grass is greening up, and there's grasshoppers everywhere. And it's springtime. It's a time of renewal. It's, we think about spring cleaning and just, you know, getting rid of our winter clothes and bringing out the summer clothes. And, you know, after Memorial Day, we're allowed to, you know, wear shorts and that kind of stuff, unless you live in Ridgecrest, in which case it's already in the 90s, so we got the shorts on. But I was thinking about this idea of a spiritual spring and a rebirth of our faith or our walk, or, you know, the spirit that we have for God. And since it's springtime, I just thought, you know, I'll talk about it. And since I couldn't get anyone to do it for a year, and it's just me by myself here, I didn't want to tell myself no. So I'm just going to go ahead and tackle this topic by myself today. So the first thing that occurs to me with this idea of a spiritual spring is why we might be feeling this rekindling of our spirit for God. And some things that you might experience that make you maybe understand that you're going through a spiritual spring, or some things you can look for to jumpstart your own spiritual spring is maybe you might notice some changes that are needed in your life. You know, we talk in recovery, the first step is noticing that there's a problem, recognizing there's a problem. And we sometimes need to have an understanding that what we're doing and the way we're doing it isn't in our best interest. It's not what we want. We want something different, something better. And in order to get something different, here's a news flash for you. You got to do something different. It sounds basic. It sounds simple, but the things, you know, it's that Occam's razor. The simplest answer oftentimes is the correct one. And in order for things to be different, if I do want it to be different, I've got to make some changes. I am not an expert on cleaning. Should have had listener Bev on the show, because Bev is an expert in cleaning. She is Olympic level cleaner. She is Hall of Fame worthy for cleaning. And I know that if my wife sets herself on a project, which happens, from time to time, she'll go in and do the garage or a room in the house, that I'll come back and she will have that thing like organized and it'll be outstanding. And I'm not good at that. And I've tried it before. And part of the reason that I'm not good at it is because I don't do it the right way. I don't have the right technique. And I know the right technique. I just can't get myself to do the right technique. But what my wife invariably does is she takes everything out first. She makes a bigger mess to clean it up, which sounds illogical. But, you know, I like to watch car racing, and a lot of times they talk about you need to go slow to go fast. You know, you've got to slow down in a corner in order to do a better time around the track. Because if you go too fast, you'll swing wide and you'll do different things. And sometimes we've got to slow ourselves down to go faster. And in order to get that room cleaned out, she's got to take everything out of it so she can start fresh. And I don't have the patience for that. I try to move things around and just, you know, rearrange instead of reorganizing. And after she gets everything out, she'll then go in and she'll clean it. She'll wipe it up. It's frustrating to me because I'll be like, okay, we're going to move a piece of furniture. And so I'll have the piece of furniture moved and then I'm ready to just get it going so I can be done. And then Bev will grab a broom or a vacuum or a mop or whatever, and she'll clean it up. And she's like, well, let's get this clean while it's here. And again, Occam's razor, it makes sense, but I skip that easy step because I just don't want to put the work into it. I don't want to put the effort into it. I just want to be done with it. And in my life, in my recovery, sometimes I do the same thing. I just move stuff around looking for my missing item and I can't find it, hoping that my life will be different if I keep doing the same thing. And it's not. And we know by now that doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result is the definition of insanity. It does not make sense. It does not work that way. It's just a fool's errand to hope that things will be different if you're not changing stuff. I'm talking to a manager one time, and I've probably said this on the show before, but let's be honest. How many of you have actually listened to every show? That's a good thing. If you have listened to every show, I want you to send me a text. I want you to call me, 760-608-1942. I want to know you if you've listened to every single show. But I've probably said this before if you've listened to all the shows, but I was talking to a manager of mine at Starbucks one time, and he asked me, what are you doing to increase the business at this store? And he said, well, we're hoping that this, and he said, hold on. Hope is not a plan. Wanting it to happen is a goal. It's not a plan. There's nothing you can do to make it happen. And your job is to do this, to make this happen. So if you're just hoping that something's going to happen and it's going to all be different, you're probably going to be disappointed. You're probably not going to reach that goal that you've set because you're not doing anything different to make that happen. If I just sit here and hope that my lights go off, they're not gonna, because I turned them on. I've got to turn them off for them to not be on anymore. Again, we're just back to these simple things that are easy to overlook. So the beginning of the steps, you recognize there's a problem. We look and we say, I want some changes in my life. Things are not right. They don't feel right. They feel uncomfortable. I feel anxious. I feel scared. I feel nervous. I feel whatever it is. It's not... unsettled maybe is a good word for it. But that's a good indicator that maybe you're ready for a spiritual spring. Maybe you have a renewed hunger for God. Or you've been looking in your Bible and something spoke to you. Something that you've read so many times and just it spoke to you in a different way. Have you ever had that happen? I love when that happens. When I'm reading my Bible, it's like, okay, I've read this so many times before, but now it's different. Or I go through a step study again, and I've done dozens of step studies, literally, not a figurative dozen, but literally dozens of step studies. And I still go into a step study and I'll hear a person give a new answer or have a different take on one of the questions. And the questions haven't changed since I've been doing this. The questions that got written in the 80s or the 90s are still the same questions we ask in the 2020s. But the answers, the perspective, because everyone's got their different life experience that they bring to it. And so I love that I can feel that way by reading something that I've already read, but it can speak to me in a different way. That's a great indicator that I'm ready for a spiritual spring. Maybe I've been struggling through something and I'm starting to see the end of the struggle. Maybe I've been like trying to find a new job or a new church or a new sponsor or accountability partner or whatever. And I'm seeing some growth. Or maybe I've been mentoring a person and I'm starting to see the change in their life. And I want to get some of what they've got. Have a spiritual spring. I'm healing from something. I'm getting over a wound. Maybe I've lost someone important to me through, you know, circumstances of relationship or illness or whatever it happens to be. Maybe I actually start to want to do these things that I was always made to do as a kid. Maybe my dreams are starting to come back to life. I'm starting to have hope. All these things are indications that maybe I'm ready for a spiritual spring, a renewing of my faith, of my walk, a refreshing of it, you know, just a different way of looking at it. And it doesn't have to be that it's different. It's just we're doing it again with different eyes. You know, I had spring last year and my grass got green. The leaves on the trees came out. And the flowers started blooming. And this year, honestly, my tree is not budding out because my tree died over the winter. So I don't have any leaves on my tree this year. So it is a little bit different of a spring. But, you know, it can be mundane, but we look for those things that we might have overlooked, that we just don't notice because they become white noise in our lives. You ready for a spiritual spring? Sometimes I am. We'll talk about what it looks like to have that spiritual spring after the break. But right now I want to give you our song of the week. I was sitting at Starbucks today and a song came on. I was like, this is a great song. This sounds really familiar, this voice, but I couldn't place it. And so I did the Shazam thing. And sure enough, right there in Starbucks, it was Blessing Offer. And the song is called My Tribe. And I was like, well, that's what's happening. I'm doing that song. So I changed the song of the week that I had listening here. And I've got songs of the week here going, or let's see, May, June. It looks like through July, I've got songs of the week listed. But I switched it. And so this is going to be about 90 seconds of Blessing Offer with a song called My Tribe. We'll be back on the other side to talk about that, talk about what our spiritual spring might look like. So here's 90 seconds of Blessing Offer. My vine, my ready anytime. Yeah, everything is all right. When we come together, come together, my people, my tribe. When we come together, come together, everything is all right. I don't want no trouble. Don't want no trouble. Just a little rest for my soul. All right, we're having technical glitches. I had to stop. I was talking, and all of a sudden, I see a little bouncing indicator on my computer, and the microphone had stopped working, so I wasn't getting anything. What I was saying, though, is if you don't like that song, check your pulse, because that is a catchy little tune. It feels very Stevie Wonder to me. It's just bouncy, poppy, just good times. Cruising down the road, going to the beach, hanging with your family, hanging with your tribe, kind of music, and I like the feel on it. You know, it starts off. You can keep your money, you can keep your gold. I'll keep the ones who want me, and that's what we are in family, and we're in recovery, I should say. We are family. It's our forever family. I love the concept of the forever family because so many people don't have a family. Their biological family is not one that they can count on or trust or that is safe for them. But in recovery, we've got this forever family that doesn't abandon us. They just love us because they love us. I got people in my biological family that frustrate me, but I've got people in my forever family in recovery that just I just have all the time in the world for them. And I know that they're going to mess up, but because they're working on themselves, it's so much easier for me to look past those mess ups and just say, all right, let's pick yourself up. Let's dust yourself off. Let's not say that it's okay, because it wasn't okay what you did, but let's get through this together because you are my tribe. I love that he goes through, you know, my people, my tribe, my village, my vibe, my Beatles, my Jackson 5, my reason, my rhyme, my ready anytime. Everything's all right when we come together. That's what we need to do. We need to come together with our people, with our forever family, the folks that are in the recovery meetings with you. And listen, I know I've been doing recovery for a long time. There's weirdos in recovery, okay? We're strange people. We're flaky. We can't be counted on. We let you down. We keep dropping the ball. We keep relapsing. We keep having issues. We blow things out of proportion. We get emotional. I get it. And if you're in a recovery group where you don't have people who are flaky or irresponsible or keep relapsing or are emotional or whatever, you're probably the one. Okay, so just know that they're all out there, and that's the kind of people that we choose to be with in recovery. And it frustrates me when I hear people say, oh yeah, you know, I'd come to your group, but you know, I just can't relate to those people. It's like, well, let them relate to you. You know, if you've got everything together, come and show us how you did it. We want to be like you. We want to have our act together. We've just got to come together and overlook those quirks. Not overlook them, celebrate them. You know, celebrate the weird. And that's fantastic. So there you go. Blessing offer. Tremendous, tremendous. Go listen to that whole song. Send it to someone. That's my challenge for you. Send that song to someone and say, you are my tribe. And not just one person. Send it to a bunch of people. You know, let them know. Because it's... it's pretty wonderful. Pretty wonderful. Okay, so back, I had another stoppage of my microphone. I this show would be very long if I had everything that I said. So now I'm trying to re-say the things that I said without sounding boring to myself. And it's not boring to you because you haven't heard it yet, but I just heard myself say it. So it feels a little funny. So work with me, tribe. Work with me. This spiritual spring thing. I'm going to do a show at some point on this book that I'm reading, called Recovery by Russell Brand, and it's just his take on the 12 steps. And it's not for everybody, I acknowledge that, and if it's not for you, that's cool. But remember, we admitted that we're weird here in recovery, so hang with me, tribe. But this is from his look at step 10, and it says that that he's learning to watch himself. It says, I am learning to watch myself. I'm learning to spot the moment when I give up my inner connection, my serenity, and leap into my beast nature, or when I move from conscious connection to unconscious disconnection. And life can get autopilot-y, you know? We can put it on autopilot. And the thing about autopilot is it works for the most part, but there are problems. You know, Elon Musk is out there beta testing his self-driving automobiles with people who may or may not have opted in. But I tell you what, I didn't opt into his study. And these cars out here driving themselves that haven't been fully tested, that keep having accidents and maybe putting me at risk. I'm not cool with it, Elon. You know, cool your jets. But my recovery can be the same thing. I just put it on autopilot and hope that I don't crash. Hope that something wrong doesn't happen. Hope I don't fly into the side of a mountain or run through a stoplight. Because I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing. So that's when I'm going to need that spiritual spring to happen. So what do I do to keep this spiritual spring thing going? Well, I think one thing that we should consider is that if you're making yourself better, you should let people know about it in some way, even if it's just yourself that you're knowing, your future self. So a great way to start is by journaling, by you know, writing the things down that you're going through, the feelings that you're having, so that if you feel yourself waning, you can go back and remember what it was like when you were waxing. And if you are in a low point, you can go back and try to recreate what it was when you were in a high point. Or you can just remember what the journey was, just, you know, documenting that thing. And other people can read that if you choose to let them, and they can benefit from it as well. You can also start some friendships or accountability partnerships that you share with this. Maybe it's a Bible reading group or a coffee clatch that you just get together and just share what's going on in your life so that other people can catch the energy, the wave, the joy that you're going through in this spiritual renewing. You share it with people. And the idea of accountability partners, it's not accountability, it's accountability partners. You are working with each other. You're helping each other. You're bringing each other along, encouraging one another, and going through things together. It's so much easier to go through something difficult with somebody. So starting a new partnership or renewing an old partnership is a great way to do, you know, this spiritual spring. Maybe you want to start a new ministry or get involved in a ministry. Might not be one that you run, but maybe you're just participating in it or engaging in some way in this ministry that lets you, you know, share your joy with people. Like in, you know, springtime, people are planting gardens. And I love the idea of the garden because I don't plant it and then have it today. I've got to plant it. I've got to nurture it. I've got to wait. I've got to let it do its thing. I've got to let God do his thing. And eventually I get those fruits. It's awesome. If you look, go down to your local store that has seeds and look at pumpkin seeds, and it'll tell you when to plant the pumpkins so that they will be ready in time for Thanksgiving and Halloween. You know, you've got to know these things, and it takes some time. But maybe you're going to engage in this new ministry and just let people see your joy, and you'll start to catch other joys. You'll start bringing in things, not only the joy that you've gotten, this renewal that you're working on now, but you'll see other people going through things, and you can glean from their lives and make it, you know, an increased joy for yourself. And maybe it's something as simple as just planting something, you know, something real that'll let you know this was my time when I did this. And as you look at that, you can say, I love coming in the morning. I come and I look at my coffee trees, you know, that I planted. I picked the fruit off of the tree and I put it in the ground and I made the coffee trees. I've been nurturing. I didn't make the coffee trees. God made the coffee trees. But I was participating in their growth, and I see them, and I'm looking over right now, and there's, you know, the trees, they have bark. They have real bark on the trees, and some of them are growing little leaves down at the bottom. They're going to be little branches and stuff, and it's not just the top growth that's happening. And I just get excited, like watching a kid grow. Maybe it's a little sick, but I just love them. So maybe you do something like that, and it'll remind you of that time that you went through this spring. I'd love to hear your ideas. I'd love to hear the things that you might do going through a spiritual spring, if you're going through one, or that you have done in the past. Share them with me. That really, when I get feedback from listeners, it just makes my day. I just love hearing what's going on in your lives, because like I said, we're a tribe, people. You are my tribe. Hopefully I am part of your tribe as well. So share your spiritual spring events and episodes and activities with me. Send me an email at that email address, bowtieguy@messituppodcast.com, or call me, text me, 760-608-1942. Don't forget to use that word serendipity in your words this week, and you can get that bonus point addition. Gosh, thank you so much for being here, people. Welcome to May. May it be wonderful with you. Have a great May the 4th be with you in a couple of days. And I'll see you next time we mess it up. Thanks for checking out the Mess It Up podcast. If you've got any questions or feedback, please email info@messituppodcast.com. Don't forget to share with your friends, and we'll see you next time we mess it up.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.